Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 15 of Journals of a Journeyman Bard, coming to you live-ish from my kitchen with possible guest appearances from the dogs that are currently circling me in hopes of catching a bit of food that I dropped. Because, yeah, I'm having a bit of a celebratory breakfast today. It is January 16th, and it's 11 p.m, and I slept in like a lazy slob because yesterday I stayed up later than I should have, trying to finish the first draft of a story that I finally pushed myself into starting. It was a planned project, and it was a project that was meant to go into a collection that also has all of the stories from the Halloween special that we ran on the other stories. I was struggling a bit, I have to say. Hi, Lucy. I was struggling to find my way into this story. I could not work my way around, sort of. I couldn't see anything happening. And because my brain is wired very visually, that means I had very little to write down. I had a vague idea of some plot points that I wanted to hit on in the story, but how was I supposed to get to them when I couldn't see any of the action actually happening? The story is set during World War II, and because I wanted to get away from Bramshire and sort of explore something completely different, and because World War II has always fascinated me because my grandparents lived through it, and I remember my grandmother telling us stories about the stuff they went through. It's always been a bit fascinating for me. So I figured if I can't see it, then I need to form a better picture of it in my head. So I then started doing research. I also sort of suggested to the others participating in the project, who are also writing some extra stories to go in the collection, to like set a deadline, because because I personally needed it, I found myself pushing this story back further and further down the line. And here we are, more than two months after Halloween, and I've only just finished my first draft. Despite having pretty much the idea for the story, like the week after Halloween. So I needed to sort of force myself into no longer procrastinating. Because when a project feels a bit hard, it's so, so easy to like find reasons to postpone it and to postpone it some more. But if you really want to get it done, there's really only way for it, and that's just buckling down and getting it done, which I did. So what I did was, once that the deadline, because I cannot for the life of me set myself a deadline, because I just know I'm going to break it if it's only internal, if it's just in my head. So what I did was, I've been hitting daily writing goals steadily for, let me check, 91 days now. With the exception of New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I have to admit that I didn't hit my daily goals on those 2 days, but those were the only 2 days. And I had my mum here the entire time. I couldn't really park her in the sofa, turn on the TV and say, "Have fun, mum, I'm going to go and write." Because let's face it, I was thrilled to have someone else in the house other than the dogs. Cabin fever is a thing, my friends. It really is. God, I'm rambling all over the place today. Right, daily writing goals. So since I was getting pretty good at daily writing goals, thank you for the words. And thank you to my personality, which gets addicted to games almost instantly, which is working quite well in the case of for the words, because it essentially is a game. I never thought I would be able to, like, use something that is essentially a bit of a flaw to my benefit. But there you go. So the plan was to incorporate this project into my daily goals without actually stepping away from the third draft of Tomb of the Giant, because I kind of want to do a little something on that every day, even if I am focusing on a different project, because that keeps it sort of fresh in my memory, and it makes me not lose track of things going on and people moving around within that plot line. So what I did was, on For the Words, you need to hit a word count of, I think it's 440, 450, something like that, in order to keep your streak going. So what I did was I started, I wrote so many yesterday that I'm having trouble with them right now. So what I started to do was I opened For the Words and I started writing on my third draft of Tomb of the Giant. And then as soon as I like got the notification that I hit my daily streak, I closed that file and I opened the other file, which I currently have no title for. I should probably fix that. But then again, I still have to edit the story, so maybe I'll come up with something there. So I did that, and some days my total word count was 600. Sometimes it was 2,000, and that means I added 1,500 words to the story. And I started that, I think, on January 2nd, something like that. So that means 2 weeks later, I have a first draft. Now, I was aiming at 2,000 to 3,000 words, and I landed at just under 11,000 words. So even though I tend to overwrite, this is maybe too much of a good thing, and I might have to whittle it down again. But I will see what my critique partners say. But yeah, it's monstrously big. The story, much bigger than I thought. But I learned so much about World War II, gruesome things, as well as nice things. I learned so much about the work that nurses did in the Allied armies, which is something that in a lot of stories I sort of incorporate, like the figure of a healer, a midwife, something, a witch, a wise woman. There's always, or there's very often, going to be something around people who take care of others, because I work in healthcare and I love my job, and sort of caring for people is such a huge part of my personality that it pops up in some form in almost every single story. And learning about these women, I focused my research mainly on the British Army nurses, also called QAs, because the main character is a younger version of Hazel Higgins from the vampire story I wrote for the Halloween special. In this story, she's not married and she's still called Hazel Weaver. But yeah, she's British, so she would have been a QA and not a US Army nurse, or a Canadian nurse or whatever. I learned so, so much about these women who were bloody heroes. They were nursing and they were taking care of injured soldiers, like so close to the fighting, to the front line, that they were within range of like shells and mortar fire. I got this book that talks about the work of QAs and the experiences of QAs all across every single battle and every single front line of World War II, from Hong Kong to Singapore, to the Egyptian desert, to Italy and Normandy. And you had these women in like the forward triage stations, which were called casualty clearing stations. And some of these women actually had to dig a trench next to where they were working so that they had a safe place to dive into when a shell dropped too close for comfort. For myself, I can't imagine working in conditions like that. And, oh God, they were such fucking heroes. It's amazing. I'm utterly gobsmacked by the stories I found, by the accounts I found, not just about women, but about like combat conditions, things like that. I've been doing a ton of research and, oh my God, rabbit holes. I would go onto YouTube to like search for what German artillery would have sounded like, and then come up for air 6 hours later and go, oh, right, it's 3 a.m. Maybe I should go to bed. So that was a bit of a, that made it tricky to keep focusing on the story. And I may have done just a bit more research than the story needed. But at the same time, how could I not? It was so, so, so fascinating. And there's a lot of stuff that I will be using again later on, because after learning everything I've learned, I've become even more convinced of my plan to one day write a story, multiple stories, a novel, something that sort of incorporates the experiences and the lives, or part of the life stories, of my own grandparents and of my great uncle, who signed up to fight for the Germans. And he was then kicked out of the house by my great grandmother. And she was terrified that her sons would end up having to fight each other one day, because my grandfather had actually enlisted in the Belgian army. But my great uncle ended up being sent to the Eastern Front, so that never happened. But there's so much, so much story potential here. And it means a lot to me that I can incorporate, like, my family history into it. Wow. This is some tangent, isn't it? I started talking about celebrating successes, small successes even, like finishing a draft, even if it is slightly too big. And I end up going sentimental over my grandparents. So change of plan, because I was going to ask you how you celebrate your successes, but instead, I'm going to ask you how you incorporate your memories and your personal history or your family history into your stories. Yeah, that's a good question. So do let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, email me. I will include links in the show notes, of course, as usual. And I will talk to you again soon, and I'll even try to stay on track next time. But right now, I have to go because my dogs are standing by the door and they're waiting for their daily walk. So yeah, talk to you later, friends. Bye-bye.